this word God has given me. It's been about 2 years. 2 years ago. And he gave me a word that made me think about the now. It made me look at the now. It made me look at where I stood with him. It made me dig, as David said, search me. It made me really, really dig. And still, it's a hard question to answer. Well, outlined it in this Bible, didn't even know it. I'm going to read, starting in Genesis. Well, Ronnie's going to have to give it up. Chapter 25, verses 29. Make sure I'm right with my notes. 29 through 34 here. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die. So what profit shall this birthright be to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. And then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you for your word, Father. I thank you for what you've ministered, Lord, to my heart, Father. I ask, Lord, that you would remove flesh right now, Father. Lord, and that you would bring in the spirit, Father, and open our ears, Father, spiritually, God, what you would say, Father, to our hearts, God. Lord, I thank you for the challenge, Father, that your word has brought to me, God. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to be gentle with us, Father. Lord, and I just thank you and praise you, God, that you know how to do things, Father, above and beyond, Father, our comprehension. And you do them a lot better than we could ever imagine of doing, Father. Just thank you and praise you for your word. In Jesus' name. Well, God spoke to me. When I read this, it's fixing to get hard. Time's fixing to get tough. We haven't seen persecution yet. The church hasn't seen persecution in America. Persecution is happening in other countries. People are being killed for their faith. And God simply asked me a question when I read this. He said, "Do you love me enough not to sell your birthright?" Mm. Do you love me enough when times get tough not to sell out? Said, because your birthright through Christ is eternal life. You have joy. You have peace. Every attribute of Jesus I've given to you, that is your birthright. Do you love me enough not to sell out? And he spoke to me like I'm speaking to you all. He said, if your child can't eat, if your child has nothing, and you're having to watch them suffer, do you love me enough not to sell out? Do you love me that much? See, this is not a worry about the future thing. This is a right now thing. And my answer to the Lord was, I don't know. Lord, I don't know. And still to this day, I have a hard time with it. It's getting better. But do we really know? I said, Lord, I don't want to be like Peter and say that I would go to the cross. Mm-hmm. I said, because Peter did it, and he said it, and he denied you. Mm-hmm. Lord, so to be honest, I really don't know. But this is a warning. This is a warning to the Church of America. There's a time coming. A lot of believers are falling today. A lot of believers are walking around in defeat today. Why? Because we're selling out. Things are more important. There's no fear. There's no fear of the Lord. Where did it go? You know, I look back and I see old time believers and the fear that they had about them over the Lord. Now, I'm young. I hadn't been serving the Lord a whole long period of time. So this was already out of the church before then. But I look at today, there's zero fear of the Lord. None in the church. You know, if you get up and you preach Revelations, hellfire and brimstone, you get thrown out. You're not asked to come back. But every time Jesus made a call, he put a demand with that call. Mm-hmm. You're going to go through it. He never, like Ronnie said a while ago, it's not going to be easy. Times are going to get tough. Another story. I'll read it right here. I believe this is absolutely prophetic with the end times. What I'm fixing to read you. I believe it goes 100% with the end times. I believe it is something God is trying to show us. Now, Ronnie said out on the porch, when you're talking to someone about other religions, be open. Ask them to be open. Just be open to hear. This is hard. It's a hard word. It's hard to be open to this because it's so challenging. I mean, the Lord challenged me with it. He says over in Genesis 47, and it's talking about Joseph. And Joseph had just been made second in command over all of Egypt. And Joseph, because the reason that he was put in second of command, if you know the story, it was because he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And he said, well, because we're going to have 7 years of plenty, then we're going to have 7 years of famine. And you need to put somebody in office that will store up, that will put up that. And then when the time comes in the 7 years of famine, you can sell and sell the people the food and, you know, make money. So Pharaoh said, well, I put you in charge. Who better than Joseph? So he put Joseph in charge. And over, starting in 13, we see, now there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan lavished because of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money and all that was found in the land of Egypt and all the land in Canaan for the grain which they brought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So when the money filled in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all of the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us bread. For why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed. Then Joseph said, give us your livestock, and we will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone. So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for their horses and their flocks and their cattle and their herds and for the donkeys. Thus he fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock that year. When that year had ended, they came to him the next year and said to him, "We will not hide from my Lord that our money is gone. My Lord also has our herds of livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seeds that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate." That sounds about like the same story, doesn't it? Sounds like they was just like Esau. They was left without anything. See, Esau, he could have waited, but he let King's stomach rule over and despise his birthright. He could have waited. This time, they couldn't wait. See, a lot of times in life, we could wait. We could wait. But we just rush right on into it, don't we? Don't wait on God. You know, no fear of the Lord. We just rush right on into it. You know, they didn't really have a choice. Funny thing is we're soon not going to. Does anybody see it? Do you see what America's fixing to do? We're fixing to collapse as a country. We're a godless nation. No one here acknowledges God. Believers, okay? The church. The true church is acknowledging God. Okay? But the rest of the country, they're completely denying God. And denying Him, denying repentance. And He foretold it in His Word that this was going to happen. You can't rewrite the Word of God. I don't care how hard you try, you can't rewrite it. Esau, just like Jesus said, was more concerned with his life than he was anything else. And Jesus said that if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. And if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. See, Esau sold out. Bible talked about in Hebrews, after he sold out, he sought it with tears, sorrow. He sought back that blessing. He couldn't get it back. Mm-hmm. It was too late. Mm-hmm. He'd done made that decision and stepped across. He had done said, "That's it, I'm done. You know, I got to have it right now, here and now." Sounds like America, doesn't it? Here and now. We need it now. But if you can't get it right now, what? They make credit cards, you get it. Make it so easy just to get what you want. See, there's a song called Slow Fade. I don't know if you've ever heard it. But the song is talking about people never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. See, America has been doing a slow fade for a long time. Mm-hmm. For a long time. We have completely faded away from the fear of the Lord. And so much so that we're being set up. Satan's a liar. He's setting every one of us up. And if he could see all of Christianity, all of America fall, he succeeded. He did what he set out to do. This word is a word of encouragement, but it's also a word of warning. It's to let you know. Yeah, you're right. You don't have to worry about what's coming in the near future, because this word tells you what's happening now. And it challenges you where you are now. I had to look at it. It's hard. When you think about your babies being hurt, first thing you think of is you're going to kill that person. That's not what Jesus taught. And we've come up with our own little personal Jesus. Well, if they hurt you, by all means, game's on. Did he teach that? Mm-hmm. He taught turn the other cheek, did he not? Mm-hmm. So why could we stand up behind the pulpit and say, if somebody hits you, hit them back? No. I'm sorry. He didn't say to live that way. That's not biblical. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I was challenged with that question, even if you're babies, because my wife, besides my wife, my babies are one of my most prized possessions. And it would take in that time and that moment to know for sure. But it still leaves me. Lord, test me. Search me. Anything in me, show me. Remove it. Right now. I don't want to wait to that point. I don't want to wait to then. I want to know today that I can deal with it. I want to know now that I have that forgiveness, that I have that agape love, that love that Jesus showed. You know, we're not born with it. God gives it to you. You know, you that's the point of being born again. We don't none love like God until we're born again. You know, a preacher friend of mine told a buddy of his, he said, you don't love your kids. What do you mean I don't love my kids? He said, you don't know how to love your kids. If you're not saved and you're not born again, if you don't have the love of Christ in you, you really don't know what love is. It was tough. It's a tough word to hear, but it's the truth. We don't know what love is. We got it mixed up. We have perverted what the gospel is. We have perverted what this Bible is. Why? Because we have tuned in to what our itchy ears want to hear. Mm-hmm. We've developed our own doctrine. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible said we was going to do. Are we doing it? How do we get out of it? Start obeying. It's simple. Start today. Just like Ronnie said, it starts here now. This ain't a tomorrow word. We're not promised tomorrow. Today. Over in Revelations. Now, y'all don't kick me out. But chapter 13, verses 15. And it's talking about the beast. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. Image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause many as would to worship the image of the beast to be killed. That wouldn't worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. So in Revelations we see, and I don't know if you guys see this, America's fixing to collapse. We're setting up for a one world order. It's been in the making for years, this one world system. There's going to come a time we can't buy or sell anything. We can't go to the markets. We can't do anything without what? Without the mark. Now, this is where I'm talking about being open. You have some that preach pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation. But you don't have any that nails it down on exactly when we're going to be taken out of here. You don't have any that nails it down. Because really, we don't really know for sure. Exactly. If you were honest and you got in your Bible and you read, you would find out that you really don't have a pinpoint. But from what I read, there's people going to be beheaded for their faith. There's going to be people have their heads chopped off at the stake because they wouldn't renounce. Is that what y'all read? This is what God spoke to me. This time coming, this day's a coming. The government is getting set up for it. It's gearing up. And I shared with y'all this morning, there was over in China, rivers is already, the river that runs through China, blood red as crimson. And they don't know what it is. The whole river in a matter of an hour. God talked about it in here. The rivers, the streams will turn to blood. I don't know. I don't know if that's it. But it sure is alarming. It's not scary, per se. We have Christ. And as long as we're in love with Christ, as we say, then we'll be all right. But this is the challenge. When this time actually does hit, I've heard so many believers gearing up. These are believers gearing up. Get your ammo. Get your knives. Get every kind of weapon you can have. Because if somebody comes against you and your family, you're going to take them out. You're going to kill them. Believers, people in the church speaking this stuff. There's something wrong with that? Am I the only one? Does anybody see anything wrong with that? How far from God have we fallen as a church? We're teaching people that it's okay to go out and murder. Where's the love of Jesus? Where's that forgiveness? Well, they're trying to harm me. They harmed him. He told you this was going to happen. He told you that you were going to be persecuted. And that's why I said in the beginning, America has not seen persecution yet. You think somebody cussing you out because you minister to them is persecution? You tell that to the person that just got their head cut off for the gospel. You tell that to the person that is hiding under the streets of China with one little single piece of page of the Bible and excited just because they have that one little page. And if they get saw with it, they'll get their hands cut off. You tell them that being cussed out or being made fun of is persecution. It's not. We haven't seen it. It's not here yet. It's coming. It's encouraging, but it is a warning. Again. One more verse, and then we'll be done. I didn't want to do this message. I knew it was going to be challenging. I knew it was going to be hard. And I told Ronnie. He said, what are you going to do? Scare all the other people off? I knew this was going to be a hard message. But we're not about sugarcoating the gospel at all. Mm-hmm. I'm not about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe in it. There are so many people led astray right now because of sugar-coated gospel and doing their own thing. Well, Brother So-and-so said it was all right. Well, Brother So-and-so is going to have to answer for teaching you that. It'd be better for Brother So-and-so to have a millstone tied around his neck and cast into the sea. You don't add to or you don't take away from his word. Now, we're just reading right out of the word. reading right out of it, and a revelation of what God asked me. That's it. If you bear witness with it, But I charge you. Don't deny what you're hearing, because I know. And everybody that bears witness knows that it's the truth. I can't help but when I start thinking about this. See, this is what it's going to do. Is when you start thinking of this, it's going to get you pumped up. It's going to get you pumped up spiritually. Because when you go to make that decision or this decision, and it's going to make you think, well, is God in it? Am I asking God first? Or am I just doing it on, you know, just going for it? You know? That'll help you make those decisions. That's tough. Again, Revelation's here. If anyone has an ear to hear, let them hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Think about that. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Let's get our AR-15s and protect our family. You know. That had to be the Lord, because that wasn't even in my notes. I was actually going somewhere else. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out full strength into a cup of wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb." Now, I said today, out with Bug and Ronnie, and we believe this to be true. Once you receive your salvation, you can't lose it. God doesn't take it back. It's yours. God gives it to you. It's your gift. But you can walk away from it and walk away from God completely. One is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And a pastor friend of mine said that he knowed somebody that did that. Some 12 people that done that, and within 24 hours, they were dead. So nobody here has blasphemed the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to this, this was God's question. Do you love me enough? See, because just like with Esau, once you've accepted this, once you said, well, after all, we got to be in peace with all other religions, we got to, you sold out. Because that's the question that's going to be raised up. It's going to come. He's going to come as an angel of light. And make it look good. And make it look like a good purpose and a good reason. But there's going to be a come a time that you're going to have to denounce who you are and who He is. And like Peter said, well, I will go to the cross. They will have to take me first. What did Peter find out? He found out real quick that he didn't know himself as good as he thought. Mm-hmm. See, so when I went to say that, the Lord checked me immediately with Peter. No, there's more in your heart that I want to work out. Mm-hmm. There's more there that I want to deal with. you have received this because there's something in you that I want to work out of you. There's attributes and areas in your life that I haven't got control yet. And if you don't let me have control of them, you're going to fail. See, it comes down, just like Ronnie said, this is a heart thing. It's for each one of us. It's not a word of condemnation. It's not a word to make you feel horrible. It is a word to alert you, to awaken you. Mm-hmm. You know, people are here. They're here today, are here for a reason. The ones that weren't here wasn't ready for it. I believe that with everything in me. Now, some of you are ready to hear what has been said today. Y'all are all ready for it. And I challenge you, as you go back out into your workplaces, we've got to start warning people. We've got to start warning the church. Mm-hmm. Because we're failing miserably. You know, I could quit. I could get out of here at any time. But I don't want a sugar-coated gospel. And I don't want it for this body. And I know Ronnie doesn't, Penny doesn't. We don't want to sugarcoat this word. You know, Bug doesn't. He doesn't sugarcoat it. You know, we don't want to sugarcoat this word here. It's a powerful word. And then I know in your subconscious says, well, they mess with me. Taking them out. Don't believe that lie. Don't believe the lie. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Satan wants you to fail. Because the very moment that you give way to it is the very moment he's standing there laughing at you with his finger pointed. Ha ha! Told you. I told you. But God knows more about us than even we know. Yes. See, he knows how much you can and you can't take. Mm-hmm. He knew with Job, did he not?
Yeah.
He said, let me test Job. Try Job. God had confidence in Job. He knew. You know, Job thought, what the world is going on? But God had confidence, and he knew. And if we love him and trust him the way we should, he has that same confidence in each one of us. That says, when the time comes, I know my child will persevere. I know my child would overcome. And even if they cut my child's head off, they're just sending him home to me. Mm-hmm. He's going to live for all eternity. Mm-hmm. He will live for all eternity. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to preach you a rescue mission. Because Jesus never did. He never taught you a rescue mission. He said, you know what? You're going to be persecuted. You drink of this cup, you surely will. People were stoned, crucified. For what? Preaching the gospel. For standing up for the word. When you truly preach the word for what it is, better watch out. Because it's not going to seek with other people. They ain't going to hear it. They want to nail you to the wall. Find every fault that they can in what you did and what you said. Try to pick you apart. Well, okay. So, well, you're judging. That's the new one. You're judging me. Is it judging or is it conviction? Just because I shedded light in on your darkness, does that mean that I'm judging you or convicting you? And we have succumbed to that one too. That's another one that the church has just, well, we can't judge them. You judge a person by the fruit they bear, right?
Shh.
Wow. Herd of Indians. You judge them by the fruit that they bear. If they bear good fruit, it's a good tree. If they bear bad fruit, it's a bad tree. All the way to the roots, no good tree bears bad fruit. No bad tree bears good fruit. Jesus put it down there cut and dry. You know, I'm not judging the person, just their actions. Don't get caught up into, we can't tell them about the gospel. Don't get caught up in, well, you're judging me. Because if you're telling them the word of God, you're loving them. You're loving them in the God kind of love, and you're doing correct. You are standing correct to say, well, this is what the Bible says. First thing you're going to get, most likely, is the whole judging spiel. But say, no, I love you. I want you to know the truth. You know, what you're doing is wrong. And the Bible says it's wrong. He's calling us to repent. Yeah, and we have to do that. That's part of being the church. And we have to take this word and warn people. Because that day's coming. And it's coming soon. I think everybody knows. You see what's happening in Israel. If you got the news, we don't even have the news, and I hear about it. We don't have TV. You see all of that happening. You see the deal with the river. Things are happening. Catastrophic storms are just coming up out of nowhere. Just all of this stuff. And it's starting to progress more and more and more. It's just a matter of time. People call Obama the Antichrist. Well, you know, saying he's the one that's going to rise to power. I don't know. He's, what, got 2 more years in office? I don't know if he's going to do that or not. I don't have the answer. All we can talk about is the here and the now. Just like Ronnie shared this morning, right off the bat. Here, now, where are you at with the Lord? What does the Lord want to work out? One quote that he gave me this morning is, the word is like a double-edged sword. You have to accept the cut before you can receive the healing. See, his word pierces to the heart. And we have to accept it. Accept his word. I'll challenge you like my grandmother has always challenged me. Read this word for yourself. I'll have the footnotes for Penny. Study it for yourself. And ask God to reveal to you all the truth in it. Don't just go on what I've said up here and told you. Let God show you. I will do my very best never to lead anybody astray or tell you a lie. Just only what God has spoken told to me. But I challenge y'all to read it yourself. Always. One thing, you know, and then I'll be done, is pastors are getting really upset, you know. And I see it a lot. Is a lot of people just doesn't even bring their Bibles to church anymore. Just completely quit that too. And the good thing is we got these notes, and we can post them online, and you can go study it, you know. Study each verse. All the notes that are written, you can study it. You know, but it'd be nice to see some Bibles, you know, and that includes for me. You know, bringing our Bibles and reading right along. You know, no condemnation, because it's for your benefit that you bring your own Bible and you read along. God might speak to you something different than he speaks to me. That's part of the body. That's part of us building up one another. A bug might have a whole different word on what was just read. He might have a whole different meaning on what was just read. And Penny, you may have the same. Ashley, you might have the same. You know, but it takes us building each other up. And this is part of it. Well, let's pray. And then Ronnie said the offering's over there. You know, everybody knows where the box is. If you want to sow, you can sow. It's not pressured. Let me pray with you guys. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you for your people, God. I thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, your word cuts right to the heart, God. It's challenging, Father, and yet so true. Lord, I ask you to move mightily, God, on our hearts, God, that, Father, we may be changed, God, and we may look past, Father, the fear that we would feel, God, when we say for you to search us, God. Lord, because it is a fearful thing to fall into your hands, God. Father, I just ask, Lord, that we would continue seeking you with our whole heart, Father, and seeking what you would have for us, Lord. Lord, and I just ask you to move mightily on our hearts, God, and continue to change them, God, and shape us and mold us, Father, into the image of Jesus and what you have called us to be, Father. And Lord, I do understand that, Father, unless we surrender to you, God, that, Lord, we're not going to grow any further. We're not going to get any better, Father. So, Lord, I ask for complete surrender, Father, not just from me, but from everybody, God, that we would come into a place, Father, to where we are striving to look like Christ, Father. And I just thank you for each and every one here, God. I pray over them. I ask you to bless them, God. Bless their finances. Bless their homes, God. Their marriages, Father. Their children, Lord. Their children's children, Father, that you would have your hands upon them, God. Watching over them, protecting them, and guiding them, God. Lord, and each and every day, God, that we're here, God, and that you're with us, Father. We just ask you to walk with us and talk with us and bless us, Father, and continue ministering your word, Father, so that, Lord God, we can take your word and give it to others, Father, that they may be changed, Father. We just give you glory and honor. Thank you for the offering, Father. I ask you to bless it, cleanse it, God. We ask you to multiply it, Father. We just give you glory and honor for the rest of the day. May everyone get home safely, Father. No wrecks, no accidents, God. We just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.